see what the Lord's going to do. I feel expectation here today. St. John chapter 11 and 1 Peter chapter 4. St. John chapter 11 and verse 41, we're jumping into the middle of a story, but a story that is very familiar. St. John chapter 11 and verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, and many times we don't fully grasp what he's saying here in these verses. We move on in the story to the more exciting part. But I want you to look at this. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. In other words, I'm saying these things so that these folks can hear it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Turn with me very quickly to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to look at this again very carefully. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or let him speak in the anointing. Let him speak as the Lord inspires, or as the Lord directs, or as the Lord would have him to speak, not just speaking things and communicating things by relying on wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the flesh, but be sensitive to God when you speak. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. I wonder how much more we could be praising God about if we would learn to speak the way God wants us to speak. I wonder how much more we could give glory about here today if we could take this verse to heart and begin to speak in faith the things that God wants us to speak and to talk about. Amen? That he may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach what I feel like the Lord gave me last evening, and I want to talk about it here a little bit today. The language, and I'm sure somebody else has used this title or something close, but I just, it's very simple, the language of faith. The language of faith. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Come on, let's really clap them to the Lord and give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I think it's important that everybody here from the outset understand that, and I believe that the majority of us do, that faith has its own language. Can you say amen? I've had the experience, as I'm sure many of you have, to be in a room or in a situation where people were speaking a language that was foreign to me. I've had the privilege of going overseas several times, and many of those places, they did not speak English as their first language. And so when they were speaking to one another, the natives, they would speak in a tongue that was most familiar to them. But it was strange to me. I didn't know what they were talking about. I remember as a teenager being in a room with two folks that were speaking a foreign language, and they were conversing with another as though I wasn't there. And I looked at them finally. I wanted to know what they were talking about, and I asked the question. I said, what are you guys talking about? And one of the men turned to me, and he said, in perfect English, he said, you need to learn the language that we're speaking. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you need to learn the language. If you don't want to be in a state of confusion, you need to learn the language. People of faith speak differently than your average person. They speak differently than others. It's confusing to one that doesn't understand the language of faith. People of faith are saying things like, I'm healed, and maybe they just received a doctor's report that says that they're dying. People of faith may say, my miracle is coming. It's on its way. And it looks like, as far as the natural eye can see and observe, that it's a hopeless situation. Or there will be folks that will say it feels like revival, and it may seem like that the devil is resisting like never before. Every step of the way, every little bit of progress has to be fought for. But let me just tell you something. I just want to stop right here and make this statement that's always the realm and the atmosphere of revival is in a place where the devil is fighting. You ought to wonder when the devil's not resisting. You get ready for an apostolic revival and you're going to see devils start cropping up. You're going to see spirits start trying to resist. You're going to see things kind of seem like spiral out of control, but God's in control of everything. Can you say amen? The temptation for many of us when that happens is to back off and say, you know what, maybe it's too big of a price to pay, or we just need to leave this alone, and we settle back into our usual rut and routine. But if you're going to have revival, you're going to have to press on through some resistance and through those things that are bringing on the struggle. But faith has its own language, and the language of faith must be learned. Now, I understand that faith is required for salvation. That goes without saying. We know what the writer said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But I'm speaking about a different dimension of faith, a level of faith that is beyond that. A level of faith that once you're saved, it's where miracles happen, where healing takes place, where deliverance is. That level of faith requires that you learn a new language. And if you're going to live in that realm, if you're going to live in that place, you're going to have to learn the language of faith. If you transferred or moved to France, then you would be expected to learn French. If you moved to Spain, then you would be expected to learn Spanish. And you're going to have to learn, if you're going to live in that place and converse in that area and be able to understand what's going on, you're going to have to learn the language of faith. And can I say that nothing teaches us the language of faith like a trial, like trouble, like a test. I understand that none of us enjoy them. I know that most of us shun them. We don't want to have to endure them. But a good trial will strengthen and enhance and fortify your faith perhaps more than anything else. We know that faith is strengthened according to the Word of God. It is built up by us praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, you got to build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. And we understand the necessity of getting into that dimension of prayer. That's why it's important that you pray beyond just the mundane, the routine, the just going through the motions of prayer, that you pray until you touch God, and that you pray at times in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, I'm not trying to be spooky, I'm not trying to make it a mystery, I don't believe it's anything like that, but I do believe that there's things that we need to pray about sometimes, and we don't know what those things are. in our flesh. We don't have knowledge of them. Maybe even yet we're not aware of them. But God knows, and we can pray about those things. Paul said, the Spirit maketh intercession through me with groanings that cannot be uttered. He said, because I'm praying about things that I don't necessarily know about, because the Spirit knows, and the Spirit maketh intercession through me. It leads me into realms of prayer, and I'm intervening in situations that I'm not even aware of in the spirit world, because I've reached that dimension of prayer. Can I tell you, that's something that it seems like is becoming a lost art in Pentecost, is people that know how to pray to that level, that know how to get to that depth of prayer. And I've been praying lately. I know what it is to get there, but I've been praying lately. God, don't let the routines, the schedule, the burdens of life, the cares of life, cheat me out of reaching that place of prayer. I don't care how long it takes, because I realize that when I get into that realm of prayer, that more can be done in just a few moments than I could spend all the time and the energy and human efforts trying to fix anyway. If I can get into that realm of prayer, you can take care of it. You'll expedite my time. What time I spend in prayer is not wasted time. Oh, I want to remind you of that. Sometimes the devil tried to tell you, you don't have time to pray. You don't have time to come to prayer meeting. You don't have time to come early for church and pray and get a hold of God. You don't have time for personal devotion to God. I'm going to tell you, you don't have time not to do it. Don't let the devil tell you that. You need to be a person of prayer, because your life will go a whole lot smoother if you'll pray. Things will go a lot better if you'll pray. But nothing teaches us about the language, and we can't learn it really any other way but through some fiery trials. James said, think it not strange when a fiery trial comes into your life, as though it's something unusual, or even that it's something that God has maybe forsaken you, and it's happened as a result of God backing away from you. No, it's to prove you. It's so that you'll come out as pure gold. It's to sanctify your motives. It's to get your heart in condition to where God can speak to you. It's to strengthen your faith for greater things that God wants to do in your life. But a red hot trial will strengthen you like nothing else. These steel beams that are above this drop ceiling, many of them, or all of them, have been tempered. They're tempered steel. You don't get strength in steel like that just by one time pouring it into a mold and it just coming out perfect. But there's something about heating and reheating. And over a process of time, there's strength that is added. And now much weight can be placed upon a steel beam because it's tempered steel. You know what it is to have a pocket knife or a blade of some sort that is tempered steel. It wasn't just heated up one time, but what gave that little thin piece of metal so much strength and fortification was because it had been in the fire. And maybe it had been lie aside and cooled off, but then placed back in the fire. You give me a saint of God that has been through some trials and that's been in the fiery furnace of life. You give me a saint of God that's had some troubles and they've had some challenges and they've had some difficulties along the way. You wonder where their strength comes from. You wonder why they can still be in the church decades after getting the Holy Ghost. And you wonder why they're still around and they're still believing God, and why they have the faith that they have to believe God for impossible situations, and why they have the testimony that they have. I'll tell you why. It's because they face some fiery trials in their life and they've learned the language of faith. I laugh inwardly at people that when I hear them pray that make mention to God that they want God to increase their faith. Sometimes I wonder if they're asking wisely. I wonder if they're not speaking ill-advisedly. I wonder if if they really know what they're asking for, because there's only one way for that to happen. If your faith is going to be increased, if it's going to be strengthened, it's going to have to go through some things. It's going to have to face some things. You're going to have to learn the language of faith. Praise God. It's more than just this coming on a Sunday night and feeling goosebumps on the back of your neck and feeling all powerful. Amen. But it's walking Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and remaining your keeping your integrity, keeping your character, and having faith. Amen. When you don't necessarily see the answer right away, you just keep believing God. When you're struggling with sickness, and you just keep on praying, and you keep on trusting the Lord. Lord, when things ain't going just right with your children or in your home, and you still come to church and you lift up your hands and you worship God and you give praise. Oh, that's real faith right there. Come on, that's just not this little light stuff, but that's real faith that can come to the house of God. That's faith that's been tested. That's faith that's been tempered by the fires of trials. That's faith that's been in the hot coals of stormy situations. That's faith that's been in a struggle. But when it comes out of that, it's stronger. Amen. It's more powerful. Amen. It's better than when it went in. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Let's give it. Abraham is renowned for his faith, but it was faith that the Bible says that was tested. The Bible says that the Lord tried Abraham. Praise God. So to learn the language of faith and to have the language of faith, you got to go through some things. I know people that want to be well-versed and want to be well-honed in a certain thing, they've got to practice it. And people, this is the way it is with language. I know that I've talked to folks that said, well, I used to be pretty good at speaking a certain language, but, you know, I don't live in that area anymore where they speak it a lot. And I've forgotten a lot of the words and the terms and how to speak it and the phraseology. I've forgotten it because if you don't use it, then as the old saying goes, you lose it. And you're not practicing it on a daily basis. And so you may have something that you went through a long time ago, and you may have learned that to trust God and have faith in God. And you wonder, well, why am I having to go through anything now? I'll tell you why. It's because this is something that you've got to continue to walk in. You've got to continue to exercise. You've got to continue, amen, to be able to speak it. Praise the Lord. You got to continue to. It's not something you can lay down. You're faced with a trial, and you have to dust that old faith off. And you're faced with a circumstance, and you have to go back to that place of trusting God and speaking faith again. And you find yourself in a circumstance, and you have to get back and on your knees and cry out to the Lord like you once did. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen anybody benefited or blessed just by having everything smooth for them in life. I've never seen that enhance anybody. Or really, I know that we have reward and we have blessing and we have all of those things, and it's a blessing every day living for God. And I know that we have a reward that we're all looking for, and that's to go to heaven. But right now in this life, it's not good that every day that you live is just, I mean, like walking through the park. There's no problems. There's no difficulty. That didn't make good saints. That didn't even make a good person. You take a little bratty kid that's had it their way all their life, they never do learn to mature. They never do learn to grow up and be an adult. They think everything's entitled to them. Everything has to be handed to them. They're born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and they don't understand anything about life. You take a child of God that has lived on the prayers of their mother or their father, or they've lived on the prayers of other senior saints in the church, a church that has never known what it is to face anything on their own, or a person that's never known what it is, a saint of God that's never known what it is to have to persevere through circumstances and problems of life. Amen. And when the first little thing comes up, it's adios. I'm gone. I'll backslide. I'll turn away. But you take that person that's endured some things. Wasn't it Paul that told Timothy, he said, endure affliction like a good soldier. Amen. If you're going to be in God's army, you're going to have to take your training. If you're going to be in God's army, there's going to be some things that are going to resist you along the way. But as you come through them, as you see God bring you through them, as you achieve the victory, God gives you the victory. Through faith, you see God work in your life. You can come out and say, when you're faced with something else, you could say, well, if God did it then, he could do it now. And if God helped me back then, I believe he can help me in the present. And if God answered my prayer in 1983, then I think he can in 2013. If God worked it out then, he'll work it out now. Oh, somebody clap your hands and praise the Lord.
God allows us to go through some things. I know people wanting to learn speak a language. They got these what they call immersion classes, and they've got some of them down in the valley of our state, Texas. But you can go down to Harlingen or Brownsville, one of them places, and you can. There's families that have opened up their home, and you can't bring your kids. You can't bring even your wife or anybody. You just have to go by yourself. And you go down there, and from the very first day, when you walk in, they're speaking Spanish. You don't know any Spanish. All you know is burrito, enchilada, taco. But you know what? If you're going to live, if you're going to survive, you're going to learn some. Amen. If you're going to find out how just to have the regular creature comforts of life, you're going to have to learn some Spanish, because that's all they're going to talk. You go and talk to them. Come on now. Go ahead and just tell me, where's the restroom at? Baños. Baños. And you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what a baños is. All I need is a restroom. And they're looking at you with a smile on their face and say, we're not going to break down and give in. That's not what you came for. You're going to have to be immersed. You're going to have to be placed in this situation where you have to learn. Where you get what I'm talking about here today. You're going to have to learn how to speak the language. Oh, it's easy to have faith when you're not in the problem. It's easy to stand on the sidelines of somebody else's life and say, what you need to do is believe God. But wait till you're slap dab in the middle of the problem. Wait till you're faced with the situation. Wait till you're in the circumstance. While you're immersed in the trial of life, it's then that you're going to have to learn to speak the language of faith.
Yeah. Praise God. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to say, well, if that was me, amen, but it's not you. But when it's you, amen, you're singing a different song.
Amen. Some things are bigger than you. And God places it in those situations so that we'll have to trust him. Let me just talk about here, just for a few moments, how faith is released. How faith is released. Faith is released basically in two ways. I'm sure there's more that people and great theologians here today could probably enlighten me on, but I'm going to preach about two of them. The first, of course, is actions taken. The woman with the issue of blood said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And so in her frail state, she made her way out into that crowd, and they jostled her, and maybe it seems to be some kind of indication that she was knocked down to her hands and knees, because the Bible said that she touched or reached to touch the hem of his garment. So when she did, there was faith. He said virtue has gone out of my body. It was an action taken. It was an action taken that released that faith. It was an action taken when Simon Peter was standing on that boat and the storm was tossing them to and fro and the winds were contrary and the waves were bucking the boat. And he's standing there and he said, "If that be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And at the invitation of the Lord, he stepped out of the boat. It was an action taken. And the thing that seemed so formidable and the thing that seemed like was going to destroy them, all of a sudden, the Lord put it under his feet and he's able to walk. I know a lot of people like to talk about him sinking and all of that, but I want to just tell you something. At least he got out of the boat. At least he took action of faith and said, "I'm going to do something about my circumstance." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's not the only way that faith is released. We can talk about the lepers, that the Lord spoke to them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the Bible said as they went that they looked down and they were healed. So it was an action that was taken that released faith by the words that we speak also. Not just the actions that we take, but by the words that we speak, we release faith. The Lord told Moses, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth." Is that what he said? It's not somewhere off in a distant place. It's not somewhere aloof. It's not something that you can't get to. It's right there. It's nigh thee, even in thy... That's how close you are to what you need from God. That's how close you are to your breakthrough. That's how close you are to get your prayer. It's nigh thee. Come on, sometimes we think it's got to be some great formula. It's way over here. I got to chase this person over here and get them to pray for me. I got to go down here. Amen. I got to travel 1,000 miles to get my healing. No! The Bible said the word is nigh thee, even in thy... Come on, somebody say it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy... Come on, let's say it again. The word is nigh thee, even in thy... Oh, I wish somebody would start speaking that language. I wish somebody would let loose with faith and say, "The word is nigh, even in my mouth." I have to speak it. I have to speak it. I have to speak it. Man, I feel it building in here right now. I said, I feel it building in this place right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Go ahead and stand with me. You see, God set a precedence from the very beginning. The first chapter of the book of Genesis. He spake and it was so. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. He said, "Let there be a division between the firmaments." Amen. And it happened. He said, "Let there be dry land and sea," and it was so. Amen. He spoke it and it was. I said, he spoke it and it happened. The word came and then God moved. I said, the word came and then God moved. That's why there's got to be preaching. That's why there's got to be anointed men of God that will stand up and proclaim the word of God, because nothing happens until the word is spoken. But when the word is spoken, God is going to confirm it. God is going to come through. God is going to move. Amen. He said, "You speak and I'll move." Amen. He set it in order from the very beginning. That's why it says in the New Testament, Jesus said, he said, "Ask and you shall receive." You can't receive without asking. You got to speak. You got to speak the language. You got to talk it out. Come on. You got to let your tongue go. Amen. You got to speak it. Ask and you shall receive. He that asketh receiveth. Not he that meditates. Not he that wonders. Not he that thinks positive. But he that asks, he's going to receive it. Oh, somebody ought to worship the Lord right now. Oh, yeah. Come on. I realize that doubt has a language too, because the Bible says the power of life and death is in what? It's in the tongue. But if there's a choice to make, I think I'm going to choose the obvious. I'm going to choose life.
Is that what the Lord said to Moses? He said, I set before you a choice. He said, it's life and it's death. He said, choose life that you might live. Come on, if there's a choice to make, I'm going to check the box that is obvious. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to live. I'm going to live in faith. Come on, anybody can die in doubt. Anybody can die in disbelief. I'm going to live in faith. Isn't that what the four lepers said? Amen. Or what one of them said to the three others? He said, hey, if we go to the city, he said, you know, it looks like we're going to die. Amen. They're starving too. And if we go down there to the enemy's camp, he said, we may understand that we may die doing that. Oh, I realize the consequences. I realize what can happen. I realize what doubt says. Oh, but if we sit here, I want you to remember, we are for sure going to die. If we sit here in unbelief and doubt and inhibition, and we don't move, we don't take action, we don't speak faith, we're going to die for certain. One of them made up his mind, I'd rather start walking in faith than to sit here in doubt. I'm not going to sit here until I die. I'm going to start taking steps, making action, speaking faith. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. The Apostle Peter was writing in this text, and he said, if you're going to speak, he said, speak the right language. Speak as the oracles of God. He wasn't saying take the place of the preacher. Amen. That is not taking the place. He said, but let your words be anointed. Speak in faith. Sometimes you have to speak when everything around you, you got to speak in faith when everything around you is to the contrary. When everything contradicts it. Everything in you is struggling to believe it. But you still got to speak it. I'm going to conclude with this. There was that little Syrophoenician woman. Or no, excuse me. Shunammite woman. That had been promised a child. The child was born. I'm just kind of bringing you up to speed on the story. Child was born, got to a mature age enough to go out with the men and work. And suddenly, while he was working, no warning at all, he grabs his head, says, my head, and falls down dead. This is the child that she'd believed for, had promised. All of that. Falls down dead. Husband, he keeps on working, says, hey, take the child to his mother. I can't do anything about it. Takes the child to the mother. The mother takes him back. I think this is interesting. Takes him into the room that she had made for this prophet and closes the door and leaves him in there. And goes out to find the prophet, the man of God. The prophet sees her coming and says to his servant, Gehazi, I said, go ask her how she's doing. And he asked her, he said, is it well with thee? Oh, man, this had to be the most terrible day of her life. But notice what she said. It is well. Is it well with thy husband? I'm sure she had to be a little bit offended how he had responded to this thing. After all, I don't even know if he came home work that day. Amen. But she said, it's well with my husband. And then he asked the question that was like sticking the finger in the sore. Said, is it well with thy son? She said, it is well. How can you say that? It doesn't seem like it's going so good right now. I'll tell you why. Because a long time ago, I learned the language of faith. I learned that when God makes a promise, he's not a man that he should lie. I learned a long time ago that everything's going to be all right. God that gave life can bring back to life. God that gave him breath in the beginning can put breath back in his body. Everything's going to be all right. It is well. She
He said, I'll speak in faith. I'll speak out in faith. I'll speak out in faith. Actions taken. Words spoken. If they're powerful apart from one another, I just wonder how powerful they'd be if we get those two things together. Actions taken. Words spoken. We could just get it together. You know what? You know, that's exactly what worshiping in faith is. It's taking an action and speaking words in faith. Saying, God, I believe you're able. I'm lifting my hands to you. I'm giving praise unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's happening in your life. But you need to step out and take some action. You need to lift up your voice and start speaking faith right now. Start believing God right now. It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. Don't let the devil beat you down. Don't let the devil take those words of faith out of you. Don't let him talk you into speaking out, but rise up and be encouraged here today. You know what else is powerful? Is when, you know, any one of us can touch God. By ourselves. Any one of us can break through on our own. But what's even more powerful is when we bind together. He said a one can put a thousand to flight. And two 10,000. You do the math. It seems like it ought to just be by adding one more, another 1,000, 2,000. But he said, no, I'm into multiplication. Amen. When you add two, amen, it's a whole lot more power than just one. I wonder right now, can we bind together at least in twos and maybe more? Sometimes I wonder, what about three? Wonder what about four or five? Getting together and believing and directing their faith in a certain direction. Come on, start speaking it right now. Start believing it right now. Start claiming it right now. Start releasing words of faith. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, let's sing.
Love is habit is not to speak. That is proper. It's not too steep. The valley
God, just wave your hand right there. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I feel a sweet, sweet touch of the Holy Ghost still lingering here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Thank you.
lift up your head to it. Oh, Jesus.
And earth proclaim kings and kingdoms will all pass away. There's just something about